We're Talking Gardening with Darren DeMello and Sue McDougall on 882 6PR, the voice of Perth.
Let's get ready to rumble. Morning to you. Sue, are you ready with your hoe and your spade and your waders?
Yeah. Oh, I'm so excited. And it's just a little bit hot for gumboots, so waders at the moment because there's not much rain around. 2J got a little bit last night looking at the radar. Yeah, there was a few storms around our way, but just out to the northeast. So I was feeling a little sad. We didn't get it, but might have just kept everything. It was quite a warm night. It was a beautiful night. There was no wind around. It was just gorgeous. So waders, I'll give a miss. I'll put my blunt Rossi boots on now because they're the West Australian. Sorry, not West Australian. Australian-made ones. Blundstones aren't made in Australia
anymore. Are they?
No. So that's the end of them. Right they're off the list.
So today, 28, partly cloudy, but then mild for the rest of the week.
Yeah, just awesome.
And potentially rain come Wednesday, they reckon.
Yeah, the long-term forecast is saying high chance that day. So high chance might only mean 2 millimetres, but we are getting into the pointy end that autumn's well and truly, you know, those cooler nights and the colour on the trees is just starting to change. You see the gloss on some of those deciduous trees, the gloss is changing as well. So definitely heading into that beautiful autumn weather.
And talking autumn gardening with Valerie in High Wycombe. Hello there.
Hello, Valerie.
Good morning. I'm suffering from yellow leaves.
Oh, dear.
Me personally. They keep dropping off.
Okay.
Valerie, what plants are you suffering from for yellow leaves?
All of them.
All of them, are they?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when you say all of them, are they things like hibiscus, gardenias?
Not the hibiscus. No, they're okay.
Yeah.
I'm not too sure of the names of my plants.
That's okay. Is it a standard thing that everything's sort of got old yellow leaves around it, or is it is it on the newer growth?
No, they seem to be down the bottom. Yeah.
Okay.
Up the top.
Yeah. Okay. So, are you in a newer part of High Wycombe or older part?
I think I'm an old part.
Yeah, okay. Just that area, is that still High Wycombe or is that Hazelmere on the north side of...
No, this is Hazelmere and Maida Vale, really.
Yeah, okay. No worries at all. So the reason I ask that is there's a lot of sand brought into that area that could have been a little bit alkaline as well, so not knowing where that came. But older part, older yellow leaves at this time of the year sort of across the other side of Row Highway, you would be looking at getting some blood and bone... And spread that around because the older leaves, this time of the year, the plants have put new growth on. And if there's not enough nutrient in the plant within the soil readily available for the plant, what happens is the nutrients move on to the new growth to support the new growth and the older leaves suffer a little bit. Wow. So that's all. Sorry?
Never had it before.
We've never had beautiful, well, for a long time also, we haven't had beautiful summer rains like we've had this year. So that's a little bit different. You can look closely, depending on the varieties of plants that you've got, you can look closely on those older yellow leaves to make sure there's no mites in there, which is very fine webbing. So it might be just time that they just get a little bit hungry. So a little bit of blood and bone, watered in well. If we put it on before the rain, I guarantee that will fix it up.
Yeah.
And if you've got a dog that eats blood and bone, you can use a little bit of controlled release fertilizer. I used to have a dog that did that. Now it's not so bad. But if you do, anyone who's listening who's got a dog that's just desperate, whether you've got a beagle or a blue heeler or one of those Labrador, one of those breeds that just desperate to eat everything, what you can do is just use controlled release fertilizer instead, Valerie. So just for shrubs, trees and shrubs is what you want. Then we get a bit of moisture around, the nutrients just gradually go into the soil, taken up by the plant, and life is good. But for your hibiscus not to have yellow leaves, that's a good thing because they're usually an indicator plant. They usually sulk and they drop some older leaves and say, that is it, we're hungry. So if they're looking gorgeous, well done.
Okay, thank you.
Pleasure.
Bye.
Cheers,
bye.
Valerie. 922 11 882 to talk gardening with us today. Talking garlic with Alex and Tuart Hill. G'day.
Hi, Alex.
Good morning, Sue. How are you?
Very well.
Look, I've just planted some garlic in the past couple of weeks. I'm just wanting to see what to do over the next couple of months.
Yeah, exciting. Has it started to shoot away?
Yes, it has.
Just brilliant. Fantastic. So what we want at the moment is as much leaf growth on it as possible. So you're going to feed it. You can liquid fertilize it with a soluble fertilizer, I should say, and over watering can, over the foliage. And we talk a lot about blood and bone, but a little bit of blood and bone to improve the soil at the same time. The rain will wash that in. As much leaf growth as possible to the... Don't overdo the nitrogen, so don't put anything like urea on it or ammonium sulfate on it, but organic base, because that'll improve the soil at the same time. So that's up until about August, end of August. Early September is when we hit it with high potassium fertilizer, and that's when it develops its bulbs. So in the meantime, while the leaves are growing, you can use some of those leaves and harvest some of those leaves to use in flavoring. So it tastes like garlic. They're much stronger than garlic chives. So you can chop some of the leaves off. That's not going to hurt the plant, not too many. And it's just feeding it regularly for that leaf growth is important at the moment.
What about sea salt?
What about sea salt? Yeah, use that at the same time. Sea salt is going to condition the soil. And how sea salt works is that it converts the nutrients that are there in the soil that you put on, so through a fertilizer, in a form that a plant can take up. So it's a soil conditioner. It's got incredible hormones for plants to be able to use. So it's really good at getting that soil to work for the plant.
Okay, fantastic.
Okay. Yeah, you're welcome. Enjoy.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Pleasure.
And enjoy your garlic once it gets bulbing. Is that the term for
it? Yeah, it certainly is.
All right, Dave in Bayswater. G'day there.
Hi, Dave.
G'day, guys. Good morning. I've got my partner's mother who wants to offload some roses off onto us, and she said it's either this weekend or not at all.
So, tell her. Stop putting pressure on you. Just can't deal with the stress. No, it's actually not an ideal time, David, for roses. If you really want the roses to, if she's renovating or in houses, a sand pad's going down, you know, a cement pad's going down, or, you know, something's happening, alterations are happening, you have no choice. You would cut them back by 2/3. You would spray the foliage with antitransparent so you can get bulk concentrated antitransparent at your local garden centre. It's either sold under the name of Envy. The ready-to-use one that Yates sell is called Drought Shield. And what that does is reduce the moisture that's lost through the plant. But ideally, if you can get the roses end of June, middle of July, you will have 100% transplant rate. Doing it this time of the year is just much trickier. The plants are still growing, actively growing. They're just not in dormant phase yet. So they go dormant through winter, and you can do virtually what you like with them. And we've transplanted 80-year-old roses quite easily in winter, but this time of the year, you're pretty hesitant to doing it.
I'll practice my diplomacy skills.
Yeah. Excellent. Big Easter bunny rabbit might be it.
Thanks,
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, that's right. They do come in handy for...
Exactly. People. I agree with that. That's true.
92211882 if you want to join us. We got an email from Pat in Cardinia via weekendwakeup@6pr.com.au. Hey, Pat.
Hi, Pat.
Hi, how are you guys?
Yeah, really well. Now, tell us about Tom Thumb Fuchsia, is that right?
Yeah. Mine's about 6 foot tall.
And they never stop flowering.
Doesn't sound like
either.
A Tom
Thumb. No. Doesn't look like it's ever going to stop. And I thought February, March was about time you prune them. But
and then they still keep flowering, don't they? Now, they're going to look a little bit. Problem is they look gorgeous, autumn. And then the wind gets them and those branches break really easily.
Yes,
they do. So up to you if you wanted to give it a trim now. That's no problem. Or you just lose those autumn flowers.
Oh, okay.
Or you're happy to stake them, keep the branches up there, protect them, and then trim them in beginning of September, end of August. So you let them bush then, nip the tips out, let them branch. They will shoot better at the other end of the season.
Yeah.
But if you're desperate, it's in a windy spot, they do break. You know, they haven't developed a strong plant.
Growing and it'll be like a tree soon.
Well, it's like a tree. You know, they make gorgeous standards. You know, you can try a cut. As a standard, they look stunning.
I know. I've only got a little courtyard, see, and I've done quite a few standards, but they're growing and I'm running out of room, you know.
You have to have sky hooks for your garden. Also, you've got a camellia. Its soil is a bit soggy.
Yeah, it gets dark and glaggy.